إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Alhamdulillah, this evening, in this, our 32nd lecture, in the series Explanations of Hadith from Bulugh al-Maram, Kitab al-Jami', Bab al-Zuhud wal-Wara'. And the Hadith that we want to discuss this evening is the 33rd Hadith in our series. The 33rd Hadith from this chapter that we have taken. And it is a very important Hadith, as they all are. However, it is, and it has some special significance, in that it contains a number of important advices from the Prophet ﷺ and from the narrator of the Hadith. The Hadith that we're discussing this evening is the Hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with him and his father, that he said, أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْكِبِي. And in some of the narrations, he said, مَنْكِبَيَّ. فَقَالَ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٍ. And then Abdul ibn Umar, he also made a statement that we'll come back to, inshallah. Yani the statement of the Prophet ﷺ stops there. That is, he said, he took Abdul ibn Umar by his shoulder, or his two shoulders, and he said, he gave him a command, which was an advice. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٍ. Be in this world as though you are a stranger, or a wayfarer, someone just passing through. And the report goes on with the statement of Abdul ibn Umar, which we will come back to, as I said. But before that, let's go to the questions from last week, from lecture number 31. The first question is, how has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the meaning of being a slave in this hadith? Yani the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ta'isa abdu dinar wa dirham wal qatifa in u'tiya radiya wa in lam yu'ta lam yarda. That destroyed, humiliated, is the slave of the dinar and the dirham, wealth, money, coins, and plush cloth. If he is given from those things, from the worldly things that he desires, then he will be pleased. And if he is not given, then he will not be pleased. Yani, that's our hadith that we had last week. And we are asking here, how has the Prophet ﷺ explained the meaning of being a slave? How he has explained the meaning of ubudiyya in this hadith? Naam, anyone? Tough question. Anybody? Nobody? Tayyib. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fassara al-ubudiyya in this hadith. He explained the meaning of it. فَسَّرَهُ بِاللَّازِمْ. And he explained it by that which is lazim, meaning that which the person, he is saying, he must have of necessity. He cannot live without it. He will not have life without it. He has to have it. Meaning the dunya. If he doesn't have it, he will not be pleased. If he has it, he's pleased. If he doesn't have it, he will not be pleased. Meaning it's lazim, la buddha. He must have this dunya. If he doesn't have it, he doesn't have any life. And that makes him a slave to the dunya. For seeking that thing that he must have, in his mind he must have it, therefore he goes after it. He gives his life for it. And he becomes a slave to it. Naam. The second question. Al-Imam Uthaymeen rahimahullah explained that the reality of ubudiyya, slavery in this hadith, can be seen from two perspectives. Mention each one. Tough question again. Naam. Naam, Abu Bakr.
First one, you say he has humiliated himself to the things such that his anger is subjected to it.
I didn't hear the first part of what you said.
He has humiliated himself to the things that, you know, such that he's subjected to it.
No, he has humiliated, he has put himself in a position of the position of a slave. He has put himself in that position by making it, by making his pleasure or displeasure being subservient or subjected to whether or not he's given the things of the dunya. So from one perspective, he has enslaved himself. He has placed himself in slavery by his desire to have the dunya, that he must have it. And from the other perspective, the dunya has enslaved him. It has overtaken him. It has controlled his heart, taken control of his heart, such that his thinking, his movement, his desires, his everything is connected to and based upon, yani that's all he thinks about. That's all he does, is to seek the dunya. So the dunya has enslaved him in that it has taken over him, his every thought and action and movement and will. And he, from the first perspective, he has enslaved himself. He has given himself over to this because of his desire for it. And the Shaykh said, Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, this is the reality, haqiqatul ubudiyya, when a person is in this condition. Question number three, who is it that is described in the Quran with the two characteristics found in this hadith? It's an easy question. Munafiq. Naam. Naam, the Munafiq. And which ayah did we find this? Surah At-Tawbah. Actually, the ayah that these two descriptions came in specifically is in Surah At-Tawbah. In 63:9, what description came there? Okay, that's good. His wealth and children distracting from the remembrance of Allah, so he becomes a loser. But in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَيْ يَلْمِزُكَ الصَّدَقَاتِ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ إِنْ أُعْتُوا مِنْهَا رَضُوا وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْتَوْ مِنْهَا إِذَا هُمْ يَسْخَتُونَ. The exact same two characteristics came in this ayah, they came in the hadith, that from amongst them, meaning the hypocrites, because in this passage, these ayahs are all talking about the hypocrites. He said, from amongst them are those who criticize you concerning the sadaqat, the way the Prophet ﷺ distributed the sadaqat. So if they are given from it, then they are pleased. And if they are not given, then they become enraged. These are the exact same two characteristics that came in the hadith. And that's why the Shaykh mentioned this. But of course, no, the characteristics of the hypocrites are many, and they are mentioned in other ayats likewise. Question number four. Mention the three possible conditions of those who work for something of the dunya and its benefits, as explained by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah. The three possible conditions of a person who's doing some work in the world for the dunya, for some worldly benefit. They're doing some work that they are receiving some worldly benefit for. What are the three possible conditions of a person in this situation? Naam, Abdul Halim. Okay, one, a person who's working with intention of only getting some worldly gain. They have no other intention. They have no desire to seek the pleasure of Allah, to seek the face of Allah, to earn the reward in the next life. That's not part of their intention at all, absolutely. Their total, whole intention is solely to get some worldly benefit. That's one. Naam. Naam, Talib.
Two intentions.
Naam.
One for Allah and one for the dunya.
Now, a person who has two intentions. His intention is to get some worldly benefit, and his intention is also to seek the pleasure of Allah. And those two intentions, those two objectives in his heart are equal. Meaning he equally wants this and that. Okay, that's the second possibility. And the third possibility? Yani the person whose intention is purely for the sake of Allah alone. Meaning what they're doing, whatever work they're doing in this world, they're doing it sincerely, purely, only for the sake of Allah. They have no worldly desire. But really their heart, they're doing it, their heart is in it really for the sake of Allah. Except that, if they're given some compensation, or some payment, or some wage, or something, then they accept it. But that wasn't the purpose or the intention why they're doing it. They're really doing it for the sake of Allah. So that's the third possibility, that a person is they have the intention purely for the sake of Allah alone, but they might receive some compensation for what they're doing. And this is widespread. We know that all over the world, especially in the Muslim countries, people are given some kind of salary. If they leave their work and their occupation to devote themselves to doing some work for the purpose of spreading Islam and establishing the deen and helping the Muslims. So they should be compensated. Because how will they live then? If they devote themselves to that and they have no other means of income, except that they are given something by the government, by the Muslims. The next question is related to this. Discuss the effect of each of these three conditions upon the iman of the person. Yani the person who's doing whatever they're doing purely to seek some worldly benefit. And the person who has a mixed intention for worldly benefit and for the pleasure of Allah. And the third person is doing whatever they're doing purely for the sake of Allah alone. What is the effect of this condition, of each of these conditions on the person's iman? And let's start with the first person who is doing something for, purely for worldly benefit with no intention whatsoever for the sake of Allah. Now, okay, the only reward that he gets is worldly gain. How does it affect his iman?
Weak.
Now,
weak.
What else?
But, you know that it's not possible for the mu'min to have this this intention.
It's not possible for a Muslim mu'min to be in that condition, that he's working purely for dunya with no desire to earn the pleasure of Allah. That person can't be a mu'min, can't be a believer at all. That means he has no iman. He has no iman. That person, if he claims to be a Muslim, is really a munafiq. That's what Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan said. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Because Allah described them with these characteristics in the surah where he's talking about the munafiqoon. So this is how they are. The second condition, the person who has mixed intention, how does that affect their iman? What would be the effect of that on their iman? What happens to their iman?
Now, he's a believer, but his iman is defective, is ikhlas now.
Now. Even though this person is still a believer, he's still in Islam, but his iman is defective. And his deeds are defective because of the absence of pure ikhlas for the sake of Allah alone, because it's mixed. So his iman is defective, but it doesn't mean that he goes out of Islam. He still has iman. But it definitely affects a person's iman when they have mixed intentions. And the last condition, what is the effect on the iman of the person who works purely for the sake of Allah alone? What is the effect of their iman if they receive some worldly benefit when they have done some work purely for the sake of Allah alone? Now,
it doesn't harm his iman, but when he's not given, it doesn't harm it. He has trust in Allah.
Tayyib. It doesn't harm his iman at all. It doesn't affect his iman. It's permissible for a person to accept if they are given something for some work that they have done. As long as their intention remains pure for the sake of Allah, it's no harm for somebody to give them something and them for the sake, accept that which is lawful. There's no harm. It doesn't affect their iman at all. And the proof, one of the proofs of this is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom, He has arranged it such that there are some deeds that a person does and they get a reward in this world for it and in the hereafter. As in the hadith of the person where the Prophet said, whoever would like for their sustenance to be increased and for their lifespan to be extended, then keep good ties with their blood relatives. So Allah has arranged, according to His wisdom, that the person who does this act of worship, keeping good ties with your relations, that they will get a worldly reward and a reward in the hereafter. And that's by the wisdom of Allah. And Allah has promised both of those rewards, and there's nothing wrong with the believer receiving a reward in this world for the thing that he does purely for the sake of Allah alone. And that's a proof of it. And there are many proofs of it. There are many deeds where Allah has promise, reward for the people in this world as well as in the next life. And this is a matter that we need to reflect upon carefully and make sure that we understand it well, so that we try to keep our intentions purely for the sake of Allah, especially in a situation where we're receiving some worldly benefit, some compensation, some award, some reward, something for the things that we're doing purely for the sake of Allah alone. Question number 6. This hadith mentions the condition of Ahl al-Dunya, and the people who are seeking the dunya, the materialists, when given or denied. And if they're given, they're pleased, and if they're not given, they are not pleased. Mention the condition of the Ahl al-Din when they are given or denied the desirable things of this world. What is the condition now, Abdul Halim? Okay, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased whether he was given or not. He said, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Further.
Also, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given out the charity, so the Sahaba, he didn't give them. Those that were weak in iman, he gave them the sadaqah. So for the others, they say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel.
Some of the people, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was distributing the spoils of war, people who had weak iman, he used to give them plenty. And the people who had strong iman, he didn't give them anything from that. Because he left them to be content and satisfied with their iman and putting their trust in Allah alone. So the condition of the Ahlul Deen is that if they are given something, if they are given something of the worldly things which is halal, it's lawful, and they wasn't looking for it, nor asking for it, there's no harm in them accepting it and using it to help them in establishing the deen and worshiping Allah. There's no harm in that. And if they are not given, then they are satisfied. Hasbunallah. They are satisfied with what Allah has given, and they know that Allah will give them from His bounty as He wills, and they are content with this. Their hearts are not connected to the dunya. Last question, mention an ayah which clarifies the proper posture of that one should take concerning what he is given. What is the ayat that clarifies this position that a person should take concerning the worldly gifts? Anybody remember the ayat? In the same surah, Surah At-Tawbah, now. You remember the ayat? Yes, now. إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاغِبُونَ نعم يعني in Surah At-Tawbah the ayat is 59 where Allah mentions what should be the condition of the person in this situation, that if they have been pleased with what Allah and His Messenger had given them, if only they had pleased that would have been better for them, and they had said Hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for us, سَيُعْتِينَ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ, that Allah and His Messenger will give us from His bounty. Inna ilallahi raghibun, that we are turning to Allah seeking that which we desire. We're turning to Allah asking from Allah. We're not worried about this dunya. Allah is sufficient for us. This is the attitude of the believer. If they are given it, and if they are not given, they're okay. Their heart is not connected to this. And these are some of the issues that we covered last week. Tonight, inshallah, we'd like to take the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. And this hadith is a tremendous hadith. And no doubt, when we say it is a tremendous hadith, the scholars have said so. And it's not as though other hadith are not tremendous, but it is distinguished in some ways. So it's important that in our minds and in our hearts, that we distinguish it. And we seek the benefit from what? Our scholars, the people of knowledge, the real ulama, what they have said concerning these statements of the Prophet ﷺ, so that we can benefit from their knowledge and what Allah has given them, the scholars of understanding, so that we can understand better these hadith that we are reading on the surface without really understanding the full meaning of them, so that we can understand them better, so that we can act better, so that we can do better, so that we can get nearer to Allah. This hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He said, أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمَنْكِبِي أَوْ بِمَنْكِبَيَّ, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم have taken me by my shoulder, taken a hold of my shoulder or my shoulders. And some of the narrators said, مَنْكِبِي, my shoulder. And some of the narrators said, مَنْكِبَيَّ, يعني مُثَنَّ, دُو, by my two shoulders. فَقَالَ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ أَبِرُ السَّبِيلِ. He gave the command to Abdul ibn Umar, and that command is for all of the believers, all of the Muslims. He said, Kun fid dunya, be in this world as though you are a stranger. Gharib. And we need to understand what does that mean. Aw abiru sabilin. Or someone who is abiru sabil, and he's just passing by, passing over, passing through. A wayfarer, a traveler. Wa kana ibn Umar, and Ibn Umar, كان يقول, he used to say, إذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح. If you reach the evening, then don't wait for the morning. يعني don't expect that you will see the morning. وإذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء. And if you reach the morning, don't expect to reach the evening. يعني don't wait for the evening to come, as though, you know, I'll do it in the evening, as though you're guaranteed to reach the evening. And this is the first part of the advice of Abdul ibn Umar. And the second part of it, he said, وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِسَقَمِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And take from your siha, your good health, from your time when you're in good health, utilize it for the time when sickness will overcome you. And take from your life while you're living, before it's over, for your death, when death will come upon you. Tremendous, tremendous words. Subhanallah. The Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Salih Ali al-Sam, rahimahullah, he said, هذا الحديث الشريف من أحسن الأحاديث الواعظة. That this noble hadith is from the best of hadith that are giving admonition and exhortation. Out of what? Of hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from the best of them. فهو أبلغ حديث, it is the most far-reaching, deep in meaning of hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. لقطع العمل وتذكر الأجل والحافظ على العمل. يعني it is of the most far-reaching of hadith that teach us to cut off the amal. And he hope that we're going to live long and have a long life and that we're going to be in a good condition for a long time. Cut that off. There's no guarantee of such. وَتَذَكَّرْ بِالْأَجَلِ, and a reminder that everybody's lifespan is limited. You should be reminded of that, that we don't have forever to live. وَحَافِظْ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ, an encouragement, incitement to do deeds, to act. Don't be passive and let your life go away, or your youth go away, or your good health go away, your spare time go away, and you didn't use it. Because one day you won't have it. You will not be young anymore. You will not be healthy anymore. You will not be free. You'll be occupied. You won't have free time, spare time, or you won't be living. And it will be too late then. And the Shaykh says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the part of the hadith that is marfu'un, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib." Be in this world, and this is the command form, "Kun." Be in this world as though you are gharib, a stranger. And then the Shaykh begins to describe what is the condition of the stranger. Al gharib, the one who is a stranger, he doesn't give himself over to and depend upon Dar al-Ghurba, the place of strangeness, meaning the place that he's a stranger in. That's not really his home. He's a stranger there. He doesn't give himself over to that place. وَلَا يَتْمَعِنُّ بِهَا, and he doesn't become tranquil in that place. He's not at peace in that place. وَلَا يَسْتَقَرَّ فِيهَا, and he doesn't become settled in that place. وَلَا تَسْكُنْ فِيهَا نَفْسُهُ إِلَيْهَا, and he doesn't, his self, his soul, he doesn't give it over to be at rest or at peace in this place of ghurba, the place of strangeness, that he doesn't belong to. He's just a stranger in that place. The stranger, he doesn't set himself up like that. Stranger in a land, he's a stranger. He's different than the people who live there. You have to know that if you've ever been in a strange land, how it feels. It's different than when you're in your own place. When you get back to your place, you're ready to go. You know everybody. You know the place. You know the people. You know how to operate, how to function, how to get around, how to get things done. When you're in a strange land, it's different. It's very different. فَلَا يُنَافِسْ أَهْلَهَا فِي حُطَامِهَا. And he doesn't compete with the people in that strange land that he doesn't belong to for the vanities of the dunya. He doesn't compete with them for those things. He's not interested in it. وَلَا يُزَاهُمُهُمْ عَلَىٰ رَغَبَاتِهِمْ. Nor does he press them or compete with them or struggle with them for the raghabat, the things that people are desirous of. In that society, he's not going after that. He's just a stranger who has some other intention. He's a stranger in a land that he doesn't belong to. So what is on his mind? Getting back to his land. He's not concerned with the things that the people of the land are concerned with. He shouldn't be, if he's sane. فَنَفْسُهُ مُشْتَاقَ إِلَى وَطَنِهِ. But rather, he is longing and yearning for his homeland. He doesn't talk to himself, he doesn't think about anything except this, getting back to his land. فَهُوَ عَازِمْ عَلَى السَّفَرِ مُزْمِعٌ عَلَى رِحْلَ حَازِمْ عَلَى النَّقْلَ. That is, he is determined to travel for the safar, the journey. He has resolved for the rihla, yani to travel. And he's hazim, yani he's absolutely certain about this going, leaving from this place to get to where he belongs. While he is in the strange land, he is unconcerned and indifferent with the people of that land. He's not concerned about the affairs that they're concerned about, because he's not from there. And he doesn't care that they see him in a condition, his clothing or his outward appearance being different than the customs or the habits of the people of that land. He's different. He knows he's a stranger. So this hadith, the Shaykh says, is an encouragement that we don't mix much, yani with the people in the strange land. And it's an encouragement that a person leave alone the dunya. That we leave alone the dunya. Yani we shouldn't be too concerned about the dunya, because this is not our home. We are just passing through here. وَقَالَ أَبُو الْحَسَنِ. Indeed, the one who is stranger, he doesn't have a lot of happiness with the people in the strange land. Rather, he is alienated from them. And he hardly passes by anyone who knows him that he feels comfortable with, or that he will spend a lot of time with. So amongst those people, he is lowly. And he is fearful, because he's a stranger in a strange land. He said, be in the land, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abiru sabil. Abiru sabilin, meaning a person who's passing by on the road. He is a traveler. He doesn't have a place that he settled down in. He doesn't set up a home like a permanent place of residence until he reaches to his home, his permanent home, where he will meet with those who are beloved to him and those who he has chosen to be with. And Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, said, do not, the meaning of this is, do not become dependent upon and attached to the dunya. Don't take it as your home. Don't talk to yourself, yani don't think about remaining there permanently in the dunya. Don't think about it. That's not real. The one who is a stranger or a wayfarer is one who is not connected. He doesn't connect himself or he doesn't attach himself to anything except that which a stranger attaches himself to in the place where he is temporarily staying on his way to go back to his people. Yani, there are some things that the person who's temporarily in the land takes hold of, is in need of, on his way to go back to his people. He's only temporarily there. He's not staying there permanently. He doesn't set up permanent residence there. So he shouldn't be occupied with the things that the other people who have permanent residence there are occupied with. And this is the meaning of the saying of Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu. He said, أَمَرَنِي خَلِيلِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا أَتَّخِذَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَمَتَعَ رَاكِبٍ. That I have been commanded by my dear friend, that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I should not take the dunya except the provisions of a rider, meaning a person who is a traveler. The provisions that a traveler has, that's what you should take. And it was necessary in order for you to continue your journey. So in this hadith there is a proof of the shortness or the little bit of hope that a person has in remaining in this world. It should be very short. A person shouldn't imagine that they have a long time to be in this world. Well, isti'adad lil-maut. And also, in this hadith is an indication that a person must prepare for death. Meaning that this life is temporary in this world, and we have to leave here. We have to leave here. That means we have to prepare for leaving here. That is, prepare for death. So we need to ask ourselves, are we ready for death? And Umar ibn Abdulaziz, rahimahullah, said in a khutbah, if the dunya is not your place of iqama, yani temporary residence, and it is not your watan, your permanent place of residence, your homeland, if it's neither of those, then it is expected for the believer that his condition should be yani one of these two conditions, or both of them. Either he will be as a stranger in a strange land, and his only concern is collecting some provisions for returning to his homeland. Not storing up stuff to live forever with. Rather, collecting some provisions for the journey to return to your homeland. Or, his condition should be like that of a traveler who is not staying at all, not even temporary residence. Rather, just passing through. And his day and his night, meaning the believer in this dunya, his day and his night, should be in one of these two conditions. قال الحسن البصري رحمه الله المؤمن كالغريب, that the believer is like a stranger. He is not concerned, he is not worried by his low position or humiliation in the dunya. If he doesn't have a place of honor, he is not concerned about that. Nor does he compete with the people for the honor, the honors of this dunya. That I want to be honored like other people. He's not concerned about that. لَهُ شَأْن وَلِلنَّاس شَأْن. Yani he has an affair and the people have an affair. Meaning the way he's looking at the world is one way, and the rest of the people are looking at it a different way. The rest of the people are looking at this dunya like it's everything. But the believer, he doesn't see it like that. He's not supposed to. Anyway. And then the Shaykh says, and it came in some of the narrations that the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah ibn Umar, اعدد نفسك في الموتى. Consider yourself, count yourself amongst those who are dead, the dead people. Count yourself amongst the dead. So if your soul reaches the morning, do not think about the evening. And if your soul reaches the evening, do not think about the morning. And take from your health, yani utilize your health for the time when you will become sick and you won't be able to do anything. And take from your youth for the time when you become old and you won't be able to do what you used to do when you was young. And take from your free time for the time when you become occupied. How many people find themselves with a lot of free time and they don't know what to do with it? They say, let's kill some time. Huh? Spare time is a blessing from Allah. And people want to kill it. Subhanallah. And take from your yani affluence or your time of having plenty for the time when you will be in poverty. You may have plenty today, it's not guaranteed it will be like that tomorrow. And take from your life for your death. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith in Bukhari, the Sahih is related to this matter. He said, "Ni'matani maghbun fihima kathirun min al-nas." As-siha wal-faraag. "Ni'matani maghbun fihima kathirun min al-nas." That there are two ni'mah, two blessings, bounties of Allah that most of the people are losers in reference to them. And the meaning of maghbun is extensive, but we don't have time to discuss it now. But the main thing, there are losers in reference to these two things. That is, as-siha, good health, and al-faraag, spare time. Most people, if they have them, they lose out on them. They don't get the benefit. If you have either, take advantage of it, because you might not have it tomorrow. And the Shaykh says, and Ibn Umar used to say, that if you reach the evening, do not expect to see the morning. And if you reach the morning, do not expect to see the evening. This is from the speech of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, mudraj. Meaning, it is something that has been added to the hadith. It's not from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This words of Ibn Umar himself, he said this. And the meaning of it is that a person should keep death in front of their eyes. Yani they should keep it in front of them all the time. Don't let it be out of your mind. Always think about death. It's near. You need to know that and act like it. Huh? A person, the meaning of this hadith is what? A person should make the death always in front of them. فَيُسَارِعُ إِلَى الطَّاعَاتِ. So he will be hastening to do a lot of acts of obedience. If you know that you're going to die soon, you will get busy. Not like some of us. We don't think we're going to die soon, so we're just lazy. We're not making no extra prayers, we're not giving no extra charity, we're not fasting no extra fast, we're not doing anything. We're just maybe barely doing the obligatory, like we got plenty of time. But if you knew that you only had a few days, you would get busy. You'll be up in the night. And you'll be fasting all the time. He said that this way a person will hasten to doing acts of obedience. And they will take advantage of the time that they have to do righteous deeds. And they will have little hope that they're going to be here long. So they will not depend upon the deception of the dunya that makes them think that everything is going to be okay. Because the believer is like the stranger or the wayfarer who's just passing through. He doesn't know when he will reach his land, whether in the evening or in the morning. And the musafa, al-musafatu, here ayyam al-umr al-qisar. And the distance of the journey of the believer in this world are the short few days of life in this dunya. Life is short. The distance is short. It's not a long journey. We will not be here long. قال ابن دقيق العيد رحمه الله. As far as the saying of Abdul Ibn Umar, yani in this hadith what Abdul Ibn Umar said, he said, it is an encouragement from him for the believer that he prepare himself for death. And the isti'adad lil-maut yakunu bil-amal as-sali. And preparation for death is by no other means except doing good deeds. The only way to prepare for death is to do good deeds. Every other preparation is really futile. People preparing for death with all kind of things. But the only thing that is of any benefit in preparation for death is righteous deeds. Everything else will be left behind. In it is an encouragement for a person to realize that hope is short, it's little. So don't wait to do righteous deeds. Rather, hasten in doing righteous deeds. That if a person reaches the morning, he shouldn't think that he's going to reach the evening. And therefore he delays the deeds of the morning until night. As though you're guaranteed to see night. How often did we find something of benefit to do and we delayed it until tomorrow? وقال ابن رجب رحمه الله, as far as the advice of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, it contains the utmost extreme of clarification of the shortness of the life in this world, of hope for life in this world. And that a person, if they reach the evening, they shouldn't expect to reach the morning. And if they reach the morning, they shouldn't even expect to see the evening of that same day. But he should think that his term, meaning his lifespan, will reach him before that, meaning his death will overcome him even before he reached the night or before he reached the next morning. And this is the way that some of the scholars have explained az-zuhd fi dunya. When Imam Ahmed rahimahullah was asked, with what thing do you practice zuhd in the dunya? He said, to have little hope of living long. Little hope of living long. And the saying of Abdul ibn Umar in the second part of his advice, he said, وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِسَقَمِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ, and take from your good health for your sickness and from your life for your death. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said, the meaning of this is take advantage by doing good deeds while you are healthy before sickness comes between you and the doing of good deeds. And during your lifetime, yani take advantage of doing good deeds before death comes between you and the doing of good deeds. And then the Shaykh mentions some lines of poetry, a lot of them. And it's like a lot, and it's too much. But anyway, it's poetry, and the meaning of it is what we have just discussed. And I'm not really good at poetry. It's difficult to understand, and it requires explanation. Just like the hadith requires explanation, poetry requires more explanation. And I don't have the explanation in front of me, so I'm not going to attempt it. But I know, I read it, and the meaning of it is like what we're talking about here. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said concerning the hadith of Abdul Umar, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, be in this world like a stranger, or like a traveler just passing through. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him by his shoulder. And he said that the purpose of this was to get his attention, so that he would pay attention to what he was about to say to him. He wanted his full attention. And then he said to him, be in this world as though you're a stranger or a wayfarer just passing through. He has advised him with this wasiyah, with this advice, that he should be in this world as a stranger. And a stranger is a person who is temporarily living in other than his homeland. Stranger. Stranger is different than a traveler passing through. Stranger is not just passing through, but he's in a place where that's not his real place. That's not his homeland. So he's temporarily staying there. And it is well known I don't know if it's the battery or what. We'll try to raise my voice. Wallahu musta'an. If somebody can take this and see if somebody can look at this and see. The battery is on, but I don't know what's happening with it. Is anybody in the Imam's office? Somebody in there messing with that machine, brother. Allahu musta'an. They need to come out of there. Nobody should be in there, brother. This is a problem, really, you know. This is a real problem, bro. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Does anybody know how to work that machine? Khalid, do you know how to work the machine? The white button? Just make sure nobody press that white button. The white piece of tape on the amplifier, the new amplifier, just press the white piece of tape. That's all. That's all. Unless somebody touched the sound volume. It's on the right-hand side, the round knob on the right-hand side. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I don't know if the sisters can hear me. I would like to continue, but I'm not able to scream.
You were correct. Someone was leaning on the machine.
Yeah, they should come out of there, brother. They should come out of there. Really. Just come out of there. Close the door, brother. They have to come out of there. The hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I don't really care about this. Take them out of there, brother. Close the door, please. Tell them to come out of there. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. The Shaykh said that the stranger is the one who's living in a land other than his homeland. And it's well known that a person who's living in a land other than in their homeland, they will not find complete and total rest. Rather, they will be in unrest, in an agitated, disturbed condition. Because even if they go out to the masjid, they might not see even one person who knows them, because they're a stranger. That's not a comfortable feeling. Or they should be like a wayfarer passing through. And this condition of the wayfarer is even more severe than the stranger. The one who's just passing through. Because they don't even have temporary residence. And this is the way that one should be in the dunya. This is the way that one should be in this dunya. And this is an indirect indication that the human being is expected to stay far removed from the people of the dunya, the ahl dunya, and that the believer should be like a stranger amongst these people, or like a person who's just passing through, who does not have any desire to remain there. And from what has been narrated from Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, some poetry, and I'm not going to read the poetry, but I'll tell you the basic meaning of it. He said, whoever tastes something of the dunya, for indeed I have tasted it, and it has been brought to me. Azbuha, the sweetness of it, wa azabuha, and the punishment of it, of the dunya. Falam araha illa ghururan wa batilan, and I didn't see it except as deception and falsehood, the dunya. Like the one who it appears to him out on the surface of the desert, sarabuha, the mirage. It's not real. So if he stays away from it, he will be safe from its people. And if he pulls it and tries to get it, then he will be contested by its dogs, the dogs of the dunya. And this last line, the Shaykh said, this is the shahid, yani it's the point of the lines of poetry that he wants to mention, and it is true. That is, that if a person stays far away from the dunya, then they will be safe from the people of the dunya. They won't care about you. But if you try to get it, then the dogs of the dunya, they will fight with you. Did you not see that a person who stays away from the dunya, the people of the dunya will stay away from him? And there will be no relationship between him and them. But if he tries to get it, will it come to him easily? Indeed, the dogs of the dunya will contest him. They will fight him over it. So this is the wasiyah, the advice of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith. It's of the best of advices that one could be given. And from this hadith there are benefits. From amongst them is the eagerness of the Prophet ﷺ to advise with that which is of benefit. So who will take from this benefit? Who will be eager in seeking the benefit? And from the benefits of this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to use some means or ways to confirm the importance of the news or the information that he is going to give, to get the people's attention to it, either by speech or by action. In the previous hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, he used what? Speech, by saying, Ala wa inna li kulli malakin himar. Isn't it so that every king has a sanctuary? Isn't it so? He kept saying, Ala wa inna, to get the person's attention to what he's about to say. And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ used an action by taking the shoulder of Abdullah ibn Umar to get his attention. And the Shaykh is saying here that the Prophet ﷺ used different means to get the people's attention. So whoever used these means, different means to get the people's attention for that which you are trying to bring to them, well, this is from the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. This is from his way, his guidance, that he used some means to get the people's attention. And from the benefits of this hadith is that a person should not become dependent upon the dunya and should not take it as your place of permanent residence, based on the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, being in the world as though you are a stranger. Meaning You should not be comfortable, settled down. Rather, you should be like a one passing through. And from the benefits of this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ did not command us to completely leave off the dunya, but rather he commanded us that we should be in the position of a stranger in the dunya. How should we be with the dunya? Like a stranger. Yani, a stranger, he doesn't eat except that which is necessary. Or like one just passing through. Yani, in this way it is expected that we should not make the dunya أكبر حمنا أو حمنا. We shouldn't make it our greatest concern. The dunya should not be our greatest concern. Because if we make it our greatest concern, then it will pass us by. We will not get it, and we will not get the hereafter either. If a person is occupied with the dunya, he will get neither one, because he will not get the dunya, the whole of it. Nor will he get the hereafter then, because he'll be too occupied seeking the dunya. But if he makes the dunya just as an aid, taking something from the dunya only, that which he needs to help him in acts of obedience, then he will get something from the dunya and the hereafter also. And there are some hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this specifically, but for the sake of time, we will pass it for now. And the Shaykh says that I have heard some speech from some of the scholars. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying, I heard some of the scholars saying, اجعل المال لك كالحمار الذي تركبه أو كالخلاء الذي تقضي في حاجتك. That make wealth or the things of this world for you like the donkey that you ride on. Huh? You're not in love with a donkey, right? I hope not. But you use it for riding, right? Or like the place where you go to relieve yourself, the toilet. Huh? The meaning of this, like the toilet, the place that you relieve yourself in. You just go to answer the call of nature. This means that you are not concerned about this, except to the extent that you use it to satisfy your needs. Only, that's all. To fulfill your needs. As Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, no person is in love with the toilet bowl, but you're in need of it. So you use it for that need and get out of there.
Right.
And you're not dreaming about the toilet bowl after you finish, right? So that's the way the dunya is. Whatever is in it that you're in need of, use it for what you need, for necessity. And that's it. And don't let your heart become attached to it like Abdul Dinar wa Dirham, who becomes a slave to the dunya. And the Shaykh said, and Ibn Umar used to say, if you reach the evening, do not wait for the morning. And if you reach the morning, do not wait for the evening. And he, Abdul Ibn Umar, took from this advice of the Prophet ﷺ, he took this statement from the advice of the Prophet, be in this world as a stranger or one passing through. He got this meaning from the Prophet ﷺ statement. Meaning, the meaning of this, if you reach the evening, don't wait for the morning, don't expect to see the morning. And if you see the morning, don't expect to see the evening. It means act like one who is serious. الَّذِي يَحْتَحْدِرُ أَنَّ أَجْلَهُ قَدْ حَضَرُ. Like the one who is conscious of the reality that the end of his life has come. He's not expecting to live for a long time. He know that his time has come. The one who knows his time has come is getting busy. And the other people, they're wasting their life away. In this way, the person will be completely and totally prepared for death. And what is the way you prepare for death? With amal as-salih. Do not say, I will do it tomorrow. Perhaps you will not reach tomorrow. And in the morning, then you will delay it until the evening. So, the Shaykh, he says here, do not put off until tomorrow. Perhaps you will not reach tomorrow. And in the morning, do not delay until the evening. Perhaps you will not reach the evening. And this is something that we have witnessed people do. Indeed, the person who is resolute, who is prudent, who is wise, al-hazim, he is the one who takes advantage of the opportunities by acting with diligence. And Abdul ibn Umar said, take from your health for your sickness. This is a wise saying. A person who is healthy finds it easy to act, to do good deeds. His chest is relaxed and his soul is well. But the sick person is the opposite. It's difficult for them to do good deeds. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said to Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, صَلِّ قَائِمًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعَ فَقَائِدًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعَ فَعَلَى جَنْبٍ. Yani he was sick, Imran radiallahu anhu. He asked the Prophet about praying with his sickness. And the Prophet ﷺ said, صَلِّ قَائِمًا, pray standing. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعَ فَقَائِدًا. But if you're not able, then you may sit. Because it's hard for the sick person. But if you're not able, then pray lying on your side. Then pray even on your side. Naam, because the sick person is not like the healthy person. And likewise, the person who is sick, he's tight, and he's not relaxed, and he's not happy. And for this reason, we find sometimes that a person, when they're afflicted with a sickness, they do not like anyone to speak to them, not even the people who are closest to them. They don't want to be bothered. Just get away from me. So take from your health for your sickness. Because it's a reality. Not many people can go through life without sickness. At some point it will come upon you. And if it doesn't, death definitely will. And this way, if sickness comes to you, then you will have already gotten a full share of doing righteous deeds while you were healthy. So if sickness overcomes you, you'll be alright. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ مُقِيمًا صَحِيحًا. And that hadith is in Bukhari, that the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person becomes sick or he travels, he will have recorded for him the reward of the deeds that he used to do when he was resident and when he was healthy. So if a person, when they're healthy, are doing a lot of worship, if they got sick, Allah will continue to record for them the reward for the deeds that they used to do when they were healthy, even though they're sick and unable to do it now. That's heavy, yes. It's more than heavy. Subhanallah. Something to think about. And Abdul Rahman said, وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ, and take from your life for your sick, for your death. And the person, as long as they are living, it's possible for them to act. But when they have died, then their deeds will be cut off except from three, as in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ وَعِلْمٍ يَنْتَفِعُ بِهِ أَوْ وَلَدٍ صَالِ يَدْعُ لَهُ. That when a person dies, the only thing that will not be cut off from their deeds is ongoing charity that continues to benefit people after they have died, or knowledge which they left behind which people continue to benefit from, or a righteous child that will be praying for them. This is something that a person should strive for, to leave something behind that will continue for them. And if not, at least get busy while you're living, because death will definitely come. And take from your life now, while you are still living, for your death, because soon, sawfa tabqa, you will find yourself for a long time. After you die, you will not be able to do anything. And you'll be in the grave for a long time, unable to do anything. But as long as you're living, then act. Do it now while you have a chance. And this is a fact. This is a fact. So what will we do today? What will we do? In this hadith, there are benefits. From amongst them is a zuhd for dunya. And that a person should not take this dunya as their home, but rather it just is a place of passage, passing through, a place of alienation and loneliness, that we should be in this world like a stranger, or one just passing through. And from the benefits of this hadith, بِالنِّسْبَةِ الْمَوْقُوفِ, yani the kalam of Abdul ibn Umar, his statement that a person should take serious consideration, take heed to what he has said in this advice, the advice of Abdul ibn Umar, that if you reach the evening, don't expect to see the morning. And if you reach the morning, don't expect to reach the evening. and take from your health for your sickness, and from your life for your death. And also from the benefits of this hadith is that a person who is prudent, who is wise, who is serious, he is the one who takes advantage of the opportunities. He will take advantage of his health for his sickness, and from his life for his death. And likewise, it has come in a hadith, اغتنم خمسن قبل خمسن. Take advantage of five things before five. And those things we mentioned in the beginning of the class today. And the Shaykh says, and from amongst them is faragh, your spare time before you become occupied. So a person, as long as they have some free time, then they should take advantage of this opportunity. They should take advantage of this free time and fill it up with righteous deeds before they become occupied. And in this same meaning, it has been narrated from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu that he said, يعني تفقهوا. Get يعني fiqh, knowledge, understanding of the deen before you are put into a position of leadership. This means that before you are taken as a leader, get busy and learn and prepare yourself, because once the people take you as a leader, you will be occupied. Once you become known to the people, then they will occupy you. And he said, I heard one of the brothers saying, that is Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying, I heard one of the brothers saying, أَنْتَ لِنَفْسِكَ مَا لَمْ تُعْرَفْ وَإِذَا عُرِفْتَ كُنْتَ لِغَيْرِكَ. That you belong to yourself as long as you are unknown. But when you become known, you belong to the others. They will occupy you. And this is sahih, he said. This is true. And for this reason, we find that some people in the beginning of their life, the people don't know about them. So they have a lot of time. They're able to review their study and learning. And they're able to visit their relatives and their family. And they're able to visit the sick. And they're able to do a lot of things. But once they became known to the people, everybody brings to them their needs. And then they became occupied from the things that they used to be able to do yesterday. A few more minutes, inshallah, and then we will make the ikama. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, rahimahullah, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He said concerning this hadith, "Kun fid dunya ka'annaka ghareeb aw 'abir as-sabeel." He said in this hadith is an indication of a zuhud in the dunya, and that a person should not become connected to it, and he should not make it his concern, but rather he should make his concern the akhirah and being saved in the akhirah. And this does not mean that he should abandon seeking his provisions, stop working, sit at home and be lazy. No, it does not mean this. But the meaning of it is that a person should seek the halal only, and seek it as a means to help him in obedience to Allah. But he should not make his concern the dunya. He should not want the dunya just for the sake of dunya. But rather he takes something from the dunya to help him in being in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So be in this world like a stranger, and it is well known that the stranger is the person who's not from the people of that land. And this one who is a stranger, his concern is only returning to his land. That's his concern. What land are we returning to? Returning to our Lord. And the place that he has prepared for those who believe in him and do good deeds. الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ لِلْكَافِرِ. This world is only a prison for the believer. It's a prison for the believer. And it's a paradise for the kafir and the munafiq. Because the munafiq is a kafir. Just pretending to be a Muslim. The stranger, his only concern is returning to his land. He doesn't rest in the land of strangeness. He doesn't build there. But rather, he's waiting for an opportunity at any time to return to his original land. And this is the way the person should be in this world, like a stranger. Because this is not our home. But rather, the home of the believer is the Dar al-Akhirah, the next life. So his concern should be to go to his home in the next life, in the hereafter. And in this dunya, he should be like a stranger, the one who is not in his own land. As far as the kafir, then his land is the dunya. He doesn't have any home in the hereafter. He doesn't have any place in the hereafter. And that's why you find him being connected, his heart is connected to the dunya. And the same way as the munafiq, you find his heart connected to the dunya. Huh? That's the condition of the munafiq. Heart is connected to the dunya. If you find your heart connected to dunya, something wrong. There's something wrong with that. He doesn't, the munafiq doesn't even think about the hereafter and the kafir. It doesn't even pass through his mind as a passing thought. So if you want to know who is the rajul al-dunya and who is the rajul al-akhirah, the person, the man of this world and the man of the next life, فَانْظُرْ إِلَى مَوْقِفِهِمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. All you have to do is look at what is his position in reference to this world. You want to know if somebody's from the people of the dunya or the people of the akhirah? Just look at what is his position about this world. Is his whole life devoted to this world? Is he committed all the time to just working, collecting money, building, collecting? That's all? Then you know what his condition is. The believer, you find that he has no desire for this dunya. And he doesn't spend his life in this dunya seeking it. He doesn't make it his concern. Rather, his concern is the akhirah. But other than the believer, it's just the opposite. His only concern is the dunya. And he doesn't even look at the akhirah. So be in this world like a stranger. Aw abiru sabil. This abiru sabil is something different than being a stranger, the Shaykh is saying. The aw here is lit tanwir, to show you that this is a type of condition and this is a different type of condition. And the meaning of it here is al-wow. Yani the meaning of aw here is wow, and Allah knows best, the Shaykh says. Meaning, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib wa abiru sabil. Be in this world as though you are a stranger and one who's just passing through. This should be your condition. The condition of a stranger and the condition of one who is passing through. And the traveler, when he descends someplace and he rests underneath a tree, he doesn't become overjoyed with this. And he doesn't settle down under a tree in this place. But rather, he stops for a minute and then he continues his journey. And likewise, the one who is seeking the hereafter, he considers this world as a mahatta istiraha muakkata. That this is only a stopping place, temporary stopping place for a rest. Temporarily. That's all it is. And it is a means, a way, on his way to the akhirah. And the likeness of the traveler is the one who descends for rest. And then he continues on his journey. And the Prophet ﷺ said, in a hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmed in the Musnad and the Sahih Ibn Hibban from Abdul Ibn Abbas, he said, مَا لِي وَلِي الدُّنْيَا مَا مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ سَارَ أَوْ سَافَرَ فِي يَوْمٍ صَاعِفٍ فَاسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجْرَةٍ سَاعَةً مِّن نَهَارٍ ثُمَّ رَاءَ وَتَرَكَهَا. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, what is it between me and this dunya? Yani there's nothing between me and this dunya. He said, the likeness of me and the likeness of this dunya is like a rider who is going or traveling in the hot summer day. And he seeks shade under a tree for a short period of time. For a sa'a min naharin. He stops for a period seeking shade under the tree. ثُمَّ رَاهَ وَتَرَكَهَا. And then he goes on his journey and he leaves the tree behind. He didn't become attached to the tree. And we don't become attached to the dunya. This is the likeness of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world. The whole dunya with him is like a tree that you seek shade under it for the time of qailula, for just a short midday nap. Faqat. That's it. And then Abdul Ibn Umar said, and this is mudraj. Yani this is a statement that came from Abdul Ibn Umar, it's not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, if you reach the evening, do not expect to see the morning. And if you reach the morning, do not expect to see the evening. The meaning is, don't make your hopes in this dunya to be long. And don't delay your actions, but hasten in doing your deeds. Because there's nothing for you except the hour that you are living in. And that's why the poet said, what has passed you by is gone. And what you are hoping for, you didn't get. It's in the future, you don't know about that. And you don't have anything except the hour that you are living in now. Take advantage of it while you have it. As far as the future, you don't know if you will reach it or not. And take, and this is the end of what the Shaykh said, and take from your health for your sickness. Yani the health of a person will change. It will transform from one condition to another. He will not be healthy all the time. So it is incumbent upon you to take advantage of the days of your good health as long as Allah has made you strong and Allah has given you good health. Then use it. Take advantage of this strength and use it for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla and standing in the night and fasting in the day and striving in the way of Allah and doing righteous deeds. Because if you become sick, you will not be able to do it. You will not be able to pray and do those things. And take from your life for your death, as long as you are living in this world, then use it for obedience to Allah. Because if you die, your deeds will be sealed. Except from three in the hadith that we mentioned, that when a person dies, his deeds will be sealed, except sadaqah, jariyah, and knowledge that people benefit from, and a righteous child that prays for you. And I like to close with this hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and both of these hadith are sahih, and the Shaykh didn't mention it, but it's like important for us to take advantage of this one moment, inshallah. In one of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ja'ala al-humum hamman wahida." That whoever makes the humum, his concerns, only one concern. Hamma akhiratihi. His only concern is his hereafter. Kafahu Allah hamma dunyahu. Then Allah will suffice him his concerns of the dunya. وَمَنْ تَشَعَّبَتْ بِهِ الْحُمُومُ فِي أَحْوَالِ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهُ فِي أَيِّ أَوْدِيَتِهَا حَلَكَ. And whoever becomes distracted and divided up in his concerns of the things of this world, Allah will not be concerned in what one of those valleys, seeking whatever of the dunya that he's destroyed in. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man kanat hammahu al-akhirah, jama' Allahu lahu shamla, wa ja'ala ghinahu fi qalbihi, wa atatu ad-dunya raghima." That whoever is concerned, their real concern is the hereafter, then Allah will collect and unite his affairs and his efforts. He will bring it together for him. And Allah will make his sufficiency, his richness, to be in his heart. His heart will be content, even if he doesn't have anything of the world. وَأَتَاتُ الدُّنْيَا رَاغِمَةً. And the dunya will come to him reluctantly, even if it doesn't want to come. Allah will make it come to him. Allah will suffice him his needs. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ حَمُّهُ الدُّنْيَا فرق الله عليه أمره وجعل فقره بين عينيه ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما كتب الله له. And whoever's concern is the dunya, Allah will scatter up and break up his affair, so he will achieve nothing. And Allah will make his poverty in front of his eyes all the time, feeling in poverty, never being content. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And he will not, nothing will come to him of the dunya except that which Allah has already decreed for him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.